And now it's time for another Castle Country Focus. And this morning in the studio, I have with me Sabrina Carter with Positive Pathways, which is a new mental health resource in the Castle Country area. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I am so glad you're here to talk to us.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we are in September, and September is known as National Suicide Prevention Month. And I've invited Sabrina to come and talk about this subject that some people just don't want to talk about.
Yeah, it's taboo in our culture to talk about suicide. So I think the more we get it out in the open, the better the community is as a whole.
Right. I know it's a touchy subject and it makes people uncomfortable, but we have to stop that. We're losing too many people.
We do. Carbon and Emory County have some of the worst mental health outcomes in the state of Utah itself. And so we're obviously not addressing this issue correctly.
Okay.
We do need to talk about it. Carbon and Emory County have some of the worst mental health outcomes in the state. Actually, they are the worst mental health outcomes in the state. So clearly, it shows that there is some dysfunction here, and we need to address this issue differently. We need a different approach.
Right. Now, you and I, before we even got on air, we were looking up statistics, and you and I just could not believe what we were finding. It was unreal. In 2017 alone in Carbon and Emory County, 17 deaths by suicide.
Right. That is a lot of deaths per capita. I mean, if you think about that, there's only 30,000 people between the two counties, Carbon and Emory County combined. 17 deaths for 30,000 people.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And it's too bad that it happens that way. But there's a lot of things that we can do that we could talk about today that would help maybe that would benefit this community. Maybe we could go over what the signs and the symptoms look like when people are actually contemplating suicide.
That would be perfect. Let's go ahead and just jump right in with that.
Okay, so for the majority of individuals, there will be some signs and some symptoms. They may talk about wanting to die. That's an indicator. They may feel empty on the inside. They may feel hopeless. They may feel worthless. They might start giving away their belongings. They might start saying goodbye to friends and family. They might have dramatic changes in their behavior. They might lose interest or pleasure in all or maybe most things. So those are the things that you want to look for. Now, there are always those cases where they surprise you, and some individuals don't show those signs at all. As a provider, those are shocking to me. You know, over the last 6 years, I've probably had about 10 patients by suicide. It's always very shocking. To me, I do the same thing that a family member would do. What could I have done differently? How could I have intervened differently? But if you're asking the questions, and you're open to communication, a lot of times you can get those individuals to open up and talk to you about some of these signs and some of these symptoms.
And you know what? That's honestly all it takes. It's just caring, talking, listening.
We have to change the way that we address mental illness in this community, as indicated by the statistics that we talked about earlier. It's really not that hard to sit down to somebody and try to open up to them or get them to open up to you. So the way that you would do that, and this all comes from like the National Institute of Health. They recommend certain strategies for getting a loved one to talk to you about possible suicide. The first is ask. Ask the individual if they feel like harming themselves. That is the most uncomfortable question, right?
It is, very much so.
But it's actually the most effective. And so if we could just get over whatever that roadblock is as human beings, when we don't want to talk about things that are taboo or things that are painful, if we could just get over that roadblock, I think you'd see some of our numbers improve in terms of the suicide rates down here. The number two thing you should do in assessing a loved one or suicide ideations is reduce their harm, reduce their access to highly lethal items or places. And a lot of people don't think that way. You remove your guns from your house. You lock them up at someone else's house. You remove knives, that sort of thing. That's what that number two strategy is talking about. The number three strategy is just to be there, to listen. It is incredibly powerful to validate someone else's pain, and we do not give that enough credit. If an individual who is contemplating suicide believes that someone else is listening, that a lot of times can translate to someone cares about me. So the number three intervention is just to be there, acknowledging someone's emotional pain. And then number four would be to help them to connect them to resources. I'm available in town now. I do medication management specifically for mental health medications. Four Corners is available. Your primary care doctor is always available. Lots of times they're the first step in treating individuals with suicidal thoughts. So help the individual connect to what resources are available in the community. And then the number five intervention to help an individual with suicidal thoughts is to stay connected with them. You check on them all the time. What are you doing? Hey, let's go for coffee. Let's get you out of the house. If you can help an individual with suicidal thoughts distract themselves from their pain and from their agony, it's less time that individual's brain stays
thinking over and over about
pain.
It.
Yeah. And so it's incredibly helpful to distract that individual. So those are the five interventions that the National Institute of Health recommends to kind of help individuals who are struggling with those thoughts.
And honestly, if you were to look at the list, it's just being kind and helping someone and reaching out and seeing someone who's in pain.
Right. And so I think what ends up happening in society these days is that we are all too busy with our own issues, right? I got my own issues. I got my own pain. How I said earlier, how talking to someone about the pain that they're struggling with, emotional or physical or whatever the case may be, is not only powerful for the individual that's that you're trying to help, it's also powerful for you, right? It builds your self-esteem to help others. I think we need to work on that as a community.
So we have a lot of resources here in town, in Carbon and Emery. Like you said, we've got Four Corners. We now have you that can help with the managed medication. But if there's someone out there that may feel just a little uncomfortable and they need help right away, there is a phone number.
There is. It's the National Suicide Prevention Line. The phone number is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 8255. And it doesn't matter if you're deaf or hard of hearing. They have
accommodations made
for those
individuals.
They make accommodations for those individuals. And so a lot of times you don't necessarily want to talk to your family members about what you're feeling. If you call a suicide prevention line like this, you get an objective person at the end of the line that's been trained to handle these types of situations. Well, this is what ends up happening is that people who have suicidal tendencies and ideations, they think they're burdening their family members or their friends with those thoughts. And so this is just someone that is objective, that is outside your community, outside your close circle of friends, that you could call at any time of the day, 24/7.
And that's a good number to call to have handy.
Right. Have it handy. Put it on your fridge, especially if you have someone in your family struggling with mental illness.
Right. So again, this is Sabrina Carter. She is with Positive Pathways, which is a new health resource, mental health resource, here in the Castle Country area. You just set up shop, I guess, so to speak. Not long.
I've been open almost a year now.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Why have I not heard?
Last September. I didn't do a lot of advertising at first because I was a one-man show.
Oh, gotcha.
One-woman show. No. And so I now have office help. And so we are located at 23 South Carbon Avenue, Suite 21. Give us a call if you or a loved one is struggling. We'll help you out.
All right, perfect. So we're going to have Sabrina come back each week during the month of September just to bring awareness to this subject, a very important subject that does need to be talked about. And we all know we've had our fair share in Carbon and Emery County, and it's time for the community to get involved. All right, folks, that's been another Castle Country Focus. For more information on this interview and others, visit our website at castlecountryradio.com.